Well, I don't favor talking to vermin, but I'll talk to you just this once.
Exchange-traded funds are the investment world's new frontier.
You better listen.
But with so many choices and styles, the ETF world is a bit like the Wild Wild West, filled with new issues and ideas, but fraught with the same old dangers of investing.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Every Thursday, Tom Lydon of ETF Trends comes to Money Life to tell us about one ETF that is wearing the white hat right now.
Take it easy. We're the good guys.
He'll point out the good, the bad, and the ugly as he tells you which investment is worth taking a shot on.
That's good shooting.
And names his ETF of the week.
Now, Wild West.
That's right. It's ETF of the week time. And joining me, as he does every week at this time, is Tom Lydon. Tom, president of Global Trend Asset Management, editor of ETF Trends. And if you want more information, well, ETFTrends.com, on Twitter, at ETFTrends, and you can also follow him on his personal Twitter, which is at Tom Lydon. Tom, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck.
Our ETF of the week is...
the PowerShares QQQ ETF.
That's ticker symbol QQQQ. Tom... are you making a market call? Because most people who are looking at the Qs, they're making market calls.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think in general, Chuck, as we try to continue to educate people about ETF options, first and foremost, the QQQs represent the NASDAQ 100, which is 100 top, tends to be technology-related stocks. And this index has outperformed the S&P 500 so far year-to-date by 4 or 5%. A lot of people are taking it into account. A lot of people have taken notice. And not that long ago, you and I talked about the NASDAQ 100 equal weight ETF, QQEW, for the fact that it's nice to get an equal weighting among these technology stocks. But here's taking the other side of the story. We know recently Google went above $1,000 a share for the first time ever. And in one day, it was up 13%. It's an example of how a cap-weighted index, like the QQQs, can have one or two stocks, if they do take up the lion's share or a decent piece of that index and do advance, it can mean that much more to the overall index, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, a year or so ago, many people put up a warning signal because Apple at the time represented almost 20% of the NASDAQ 100. Right now it's 12%. And even though many were right to throw up the warning flag because Apple did in fact have a pretty good correction, it too recently has caught some positive momentum along with some of their brethren like Microsoft, Cisco, Intel, Qualcomm, that are also some of the big leaders in the QQQ.
Let's talk just a little bit about something that folks sometimes worry about with ETFs, which is if you're buying the QQQs, for you and the way that you invest, everything is a long-term holding. That's not, you're not buying something to go, hey, I've got it now, and I expect I'll be out of it in a day. But for a lot of the institutions, the Qs are a big trading vehicle. Does that in any way, shape, or form affect how investors should look at this? I mean, you know, Jack Bogle will tell you, of course, index investing is the best way to go. But when you wind up buying something that is so regularly traded, like an ETF, you at some point can't help yourself from trading. So how do you top that? And is it just in the methodology and coming in and saying, hey, here's my buy point and here's my sell point? Or is there more to it?
Well, I think what you bring into account is the fact that it's got a lot of attention and that there's a lot of money in there, and it might be institutional money and it might be hot money. I would take the other side and say that's a positive thing. Greater liquidity benefits the shareholders, whether you're buying it for a day or you're buying it for 5 years. The idea that there's going to be some trading, and some people are trading it continuously, and it's for all the right reasons because the liquidity is almost instant. On the other hand, because it's an index and because in this case with the QQQs, the expense ratio is so small, you're getting instant liquidity and instant representation with tax efficiency and really the representation that you're looking for as far as a long-term allocation to technology. So I think in the case of the QQQ, that's been around for a long period of time, there's something in there for everybody. The fact that traders use it doesn't necessarily mean I need to run for the hills. In fact, I think in many cases today, it's better.
Well, it does make sure that there's always going to be liquidity, not that we would expect a problem like that with something as popular as the Qs. Let's look at this from the standpoint that we always do, which is, how big a role does this play? I mean, this can be, for a lot of folks, a core holding, or it can be, you know, I want to have big names and I maybe want to tilt towards technology. How do you suggest that people play it? How much of their portfolio do they let it be?
Yeah, absolutely. So in most cases, I think, as we try to tell people, the S&P 500 is great, but understand it's cap-weighted, so you're owning a bigger percentage of a big chunk of companies. You want to diversify away from there. Technology is a great thing to look at from a diversification standpoint, and in this case, you've got some pillar technology companies that are some of the best in the industry. If you feel that these companies are going to continue to move in the coming years and decades, that makes a heck of a lot of sense to at least diversify away from the S&P 500 to overweight in the technology area, because that's where some of the bellwether stocks of the past decades have come from. So getting down to really what you're looking for, Chuck, I would take of your domestic holdings, especially those that are tied to the S&P 500, a 10% allocation to the QQQs, and again, keep in mind the general trends, because sometimes the trends change, and hold them as long as they're above the 200-day moving average.
A really good reason to buy and hold the Qs, make them a long-term portion of your holdings, again, as long as they also stay above that level where you feel the trend is working with you. Tom, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Chuck.
Tom Lydon is the editor of ETF Trends. If you want more information, it's etftrends.com. You can also find links there to Global Trend Asset Management, his money management firm. Follow him on Twitter at ETFTrends. Hey, there is much more to go on the Thursday edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the big interview. Then later on, the Money Life Market Call. You know it, you love it, you don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.